Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 20. We've got a great subject. We're going to be talking about the 9 strategies to promote your membership website in 2023. I've got my great co-host. We've had some interesting music technical problems. He's a bit hot and bothered as well, but that's not caused by me. He's just come out of the hot tub. He seems relaxed, though. I think yes. It's going to be a lively, interesting discussion. Before we go into the main part of it, I'm going to let Spencer introduce himself. So, Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Indeed. Here in Chicago, it is walking and hot tub mornings. So yes, I'm feeling very good, but very my temperature's up a little still. So this is Spencer Forman from SpencerForman.com. Also, my consulting is at WPLaunchify.com, and we're back with the club over at WPLaunchClub.com for everything else. So visit the hub and check it out. We're really on the same page with memberships, marketing automation, e-commerce, e-learning, and so forth.
That's great. Like you say, getting an audience for your membership website is slightly important. You can have the best courses, information for your niche as much as you like, but if you don't have your own, as I call it, your online tribe, it ain't going to go anywhere, in my opinion, or it's going to be rather a slow, lonely road. We're here to give some advice about how to build that audience so you can be successful in 2023. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a couple messages from our major great sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com, and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership Shows. It's much appreciated. We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out that we've got some great offers from the sponsors. Plus, we've got a curated list of the best plugins to help you build a membership website in 2023. So you don't have to crawl the internet trying to find the right solutions for you. You can find all these goodies by going over to WPTonic/deals. WPTonic/deals. I've been looking at the traffic. It's become a very popular page for people. It's got a load of resources on that page, so go over there. So let's go into it, Spencer.
Let's do it.
He's putting his fan like, right. Were you bald yourself like a lobster or something?
Like a dog on a summer day.
You're a bit pink, actually. So, how long have you been in there? All right. So, number
just
one.
Just an hour.
Right. Number one, position yourself as an authority to your membership audience. Now, this is a little bit abstract, but on the other hand, I think it's really, really important. So what's your initial thoughts about positioning yourself as an authority in your for your membership audience?
I mean, I think the best thing we can do to introduce everyone to this content. Echoing back on your side for the first time ever. So sorry about that. What I think we can say is for anybody entering the marketplace today or those who've been struggling, never has it been more true than now in 2023 that having a human relationship with your brand, your personality, your individual touch mixed in with whatever it is that the company you may have created is doing is important. There may have been a time when you could get away with being nameless and faceless and so forth. But since the beginning days of anything I've done entrepreneurial, but certainly WordPress, I've been an advocate for mix your name, your face, your brand into whatever you're doing so that as time goes on, you're just at least a couple steps ahead of every new advancement and you become known as the authority. That has served me well. It has served my students and my clients well. And even if you're the type of person that's a little shy, it doesn't mean that people need to come visit you at home or call your phone. It means that you are seen and heard as being, that's the guy, that's the woman, that's the person who is in charge of this particular niche topic. And they're the ones to whom I'm going to go for the pain point that you're delivering. And one of the things I want to bring up, I don't want to make this like a total promotion. Can we do for the first time ever, can we do like a mix in a screen here? Is that possible? Or is that...
If I just share
the thing, can you...
Yeah, you bring it up as a separate presentation. Yeah, okay. And there we go.
Can you just pop that in? Because I don't have controls today because I was logged out. Okay. So when I started in WordPress, self-promotion coming here, but when I started in WordPress, I taught people who were freelance web designers, including a very young, he had a full head of curly hair, Jonathan Dunwood, how to be an entrepreneur in a space by giving them the means to create solutions in WordPress for a business. And the kind of wheel turns full circle. And now here we are in 2023. And now the tools are different, but the technique has never been more important. Whether you're somebody from overseas who is trying to break into the US market, or whether you're somebody from the American market who is, let's say, retired or kicked out of your job, the most difficult thing for people is how to basically attract freelance clients in a busy space. And guess what it involves? It involves your profile. It starts with your profile. And the second thing is how to talk to people. So I've put together all my 40 plus years of entrepreneurial experience and 17 years in WordPress, starting at $9, to basically show you how to position yourself in your LinkedIn or your Upwork profile. And then the second part of it is for $11 more, $20 total, how to actually approach people in a way that doesn't come off like you're one of these spammy, crazy people that just, let's get married the first time I meet, but rather back in the old days when we used to build relationships, how you find out about somebody, how you learn about them. And then finally, even has a little bit of a hand-on service if you want us to just personally look at your profile and fix it. And this is why. Because in today's world, there has never been a better opportunity to go into places like LinkedIn and actually learn about people who need these really quick solutions in WordPress for their membership site or for whatever it is they're doing. For example, soccer coaches and people who run yoga studios. And so this is my way of returning people back to what we're talking about in number one, which is if you've never had somebody look at you and tell you how you should dress or cut your hair or do your makeup or talk on the phone, it's really enlightening because at the end of the day, what you find out is that promoting yourself is 99% of what people want to buy today. They want to buy a relationship with you. So today I'm saying go to yourbestprofile.com and try it. But as far as what we're talking about, making yourself part of the mix is absolutely essential.
Okay, you can. Yeah, I agree with you. The other key strategy is content, educational content. You know, having content out there before you launch your course that's around some of the subjects that your course is about, and building some recognition that you are a thought leader or you have some value and insight around solving the problem that your membership course is about is going to be really important. And unfortunately, and it doesn't have to take years, but it does need some thought and some planning.
This much. Pause on that. That's a big thing you just said, because I think this is the fundamental premise. You only need to be this much ahead of somebody else. This much. Okay. Because you only have to solve one pain. You don't have to solve all of their problems. Like we say at our age, I got a million problems, and that's not one of them. If you can find one pain that some person or persons has that you can be interested enough to learn how to solve for yourself and then solve for them, there'll be a second and a third and a fourth, and you'll be known for the person solving that. And then that authority begets authority. So number one and number two tie together. You don't have to be an authority of all things. Be an authority of one thing, one little thing, and that you will use as your magnet. And number two, that will make you the source of knowledge. But you know what people love? Jonathan, hey, what's the best place to ski in California or Reno?
Heavily, I would say.
Yeah. Why would I ask a guy like you that question? Because you live there. You ski there. You're a guy I hang out with all too often. I trust you. I'm not going on some like skiexpert.com website. I'm asking a pal, right? People want to ask people that they trust, that they have a relationship. What's the best movie? Where should I eat? Do these shoes look good? What do you think of my new glasses? That's how humans interact. It's a tribal thing. So being an authority with a group of people who now trust you as a person makes you the source of knowledge for these very small things, which can be monetized.
Yeah. So I think there's a bit overlap with one to two. Become a source of knowledge. How, looking back at the different sectors that you have been successful in online, how did you approach to become a source of knowledge?
The formula is the same formula I've used since I was 10 years old. Okay. Find things that you're interested in. Okay. For fun. Like when I was a little kid, I was into building model airplanes or playing hockey or, Star Wars, because I was born in 1966, right? So I found all these little activities and hobbies that involved these particular things. But in the process, my entrepreneurial brain started turning on and I realized like adults had the same interest in the things that got me excited, and adults had money. And I could actually find things that adults would pay me for as a kid that was huge money. For example, back in the 60s, in the 70s, when Star Wars came out, there wasn't any merch. And there was about a bunch of moms who played bridge with my mom who had kids my age. And I one day had built some Star Wars Stormtrooper helmets out of paper mache. I mean, it probably looked like ridiculous, but back in those days, we had the Bicentennial. And at school, we learned how to make paper mache helmets, make Star Wars. I had some mom say they'd give me $50 to make one. $50 for like a 10-year-old. It was all the money in the world. Or when it came to things like, building airplanes, radio control stuff, I found a lot of adults wanted me to teach them how to fly these radio control airplanes. And they would pay me hundreds of dollars, which was enough to buy more radio control airplanes. So find something you're interested in that you have a pain point on that you can solve. Then find communities, of which now there's infinite varieties, where you can go and find like-minded people such as yourself. Share with them what you did. A number of people will raise their hand and go, Spence, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. And when they do, you go, well, you know what? I could teach you, or I can make it into a kit, or I can make it into a course. And if I did, would you buy it for $20? And ask them that ahead of time. And guess what? A lot of them will say yes. And if you take a launch kit or a membership site, you can have the money in your hand before you even commit to making it, which lets you know what the demand is. This is a formula as old as Earth. And yet people act as if somehow all the automation tools in the world change it. They don't. It's just human relationship building. You solve a pain like the cobbler, like the blacksmith, like, you know, the sheep herder, like the goat farmer. You're just solving problems for people that they don't want to do those problem solving issues on their own and make it easier for them. And they'll pay you. Ta-da.
Yeah, I also think in a very crowded, many voice platform like the internet, which is getting more and more crowded, finding a niche is
essential.
Has become, you know, this has been said multiple times. We're not going to cover it, anything, but both of us make a living online. Both of us run businesses. Both of us are reasonably successful. Probably Spencer's a bit more successful than me, but so that's why you should listen. And finding your niche, finding your tribe is also really important. And doing all the things that Spencer has outlined. On to number three. Using social media to spread your message. This is my insight. This is what I think. I think it depends on the audience, the type of membership website you've got, what the information, what the niche is aimed at, how you're going to help that audience through your membership website will determine this to some extent, but also your personal inclination. There are certain social media platforms that I kind of lean to. And then there's other social platforms that I wouldn't say dislike, but I am not drawn to so much. I think linking the two, where the social media platform that's most suitable, where you're going to find your audience, and the one or two that you lean to personally, can be a bit tricky, but it only does work out. The other thing is you can't spread yourself too thin unless you've got a VC or some, you know, and you can hire people to help you do this at not ridiculous cost. But on the other hand, they can't be you to some degree. So trying to spread yourself too thin can be a problem. It's best to find your audience on social media. And the last thing, and I just want to see what you think about all this and comment on what I'm saying, Spence, is that this is why it's important to have a website and have an email list, because all this social media that you do should be drawing people to your website, to your email list, to things that you can directly control, because these social media platforms are owned by other people. You just should utilize it to build your community, your tribe, and to drive them to resources that you have more control over. What's your reaction of what I've just outlined, Spencer?
Yeah, but I'll break it down a little farther. So I think the number one factor that everyone has to decide upon, unless you're just addicted to Gary Vaynerchuk, is what matches with your age, your demographics, and your personality, because there's lots of different types of social media. I am 27, the second and a half time around, so are you. I'm not really a great match for TikTok. I'm not really.
You don't go on TikTok, Spence. I can see you in the hot tub on TikTok.
Well, I mean, you bring up a good point, because there's somebody I respect. I'll name, like, Rachel Peterson, who is not my age, but she's not a child either. She's an adult mom, married and stuff. she does really well with like those short form things because her content is social media marketing and she has clients and she has a certain technique, which, you know, she says, here are the seven things to do this. And it's very ASMR and it's very short form and it's really good stuff. I've been debating, do I want to adapt my style into that? But what I find is that for me,
can you do the voice again?
Here's nine strategies to promote your membership website. Number one, position yourself as an authority. Like there's a thing called ASMR. My voice is the opposite of ASMR. My voice is like an alarm clock that you can't get to turn off. But that's the point. So the things that match my age and demographic, Facebook in groups, LinkedIn, Twitter. Now, Instagram, maybe, if I wanted to do that kind of stuff, or TikTok or something, if I wanted to be a different person, but it doesn't align with me. Plus, the stuff that I sell cannot be as easily compartmentalized. I mean, sure, we can give little tips like this, but here's the other part. It's just like the difference between an entrepreneur and a corporate employee. There are people for whom the idea of sitting at a job, even in a modern, you know, overemployment type thing where you can have three jobs remotely, sitting in a job, having a boss, having that kind of lifestyle, people telling you to do is incomprehensible. Whereas for corporate employees, the idea of having to get up every day and do your own thing is incomprehensible. So by matching your personality type to what these social media platforms demand of you, I think you'll be more successful. Because if you don't do them to feed the algorithm, you don't exist. Second of all, you have to match with the people that you're looking for. So who are my clients? Now, my clients tend to be entrepreneurial. They're people who are starting a business. They're at the early stages of a business. I do have a few enterprise clients, but that's not really my main match. Where do I find these people? I find these people looking in those places like LinkedIn or Facebook. I'm not going to find a 56-year-old, you know, entrepreneurial person who just left their corporate job on TikTok. Not likely. Not at least for what I'm willing to give them. I will find them in Facebook. I will find them in LinkedIn. And so by knowing yourself, knowing what the social media platform demands, and knowing who's on there, you can tailor the message of back to our billboard. Find the pain, tell people what you can do about the pain, and give them a call to action, which is to get them on your list. That's the formula. It's no difference than the billboards on the highway in the old days. Where are you going to put the billboard? Well, if you're selling cheeseburgers and you're right off the next exit, put the sign right before the exit that says, hungry for cheeseburgers, best ones in Chicago, turn right at next exit. Are you somebody who has a pain somebody will have on LinkedIn? Great. Make a product, make a service, say, are you suffering this pain? I'm the best one to help you with it. Let's have a free call. Done.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The other thing I think people can understand, which I try and adopt, is repurposing. It's a little bit tricky because these platforms, they have different cultures, different audiences, different styles. One of the things that works quite successfully, apart from Twitter, for repurposing is video, depending on the length of the video. Sometimes you've got to do shorter versions because of the requirement of the platform and the restriction of the platform. But video, by editing a video, it's normally very popular also on all the platforms. They will give your video more bandwidth than non-video. But the other thing is, what you would probably put on LinkedIn is probably not what, or the kind of style of discussion and the content, what you would put on LinkedIn is not what you would put on Twitter or maybe on
another platform. It won't work. See, the thing is, it won't work. So, yeah. Like, let's talk about traditional TV ads, radio ads versus newspaper ads or old-fashioned, you know, things you got in the mail. Remember back in the oldie days? Okay, a TV ad is 30-second spot. A radio ad could be 15 seconds, 30 seconds. You can't do a TV ad like a radio ad because radio, they can't see it. they can hear it and they're usually driving in their car. A TV ad, they're like in between shows. You have to be flashy and quick to get their visual attention. A male print ad has to be something altogether. Well, similarly, with the different social media platforms, you can't make a TikTok video that's wide format. First of all, it's vertical. Second of all, it has to have words on it. Third of all, it has to show a person or you will get no attention. And it has to be speaking. There's a format in the timing, in the shift, in the words. If it doesn't follow the format, somebody's 1 millisecond attention span swipes you away. And so the thing about this is that there are people who explode with certain products. A recent one I saw was a kid who was really brilliant. It's like 22 years old. He came up with chocolate, a dark chocolate that has a couple like herbs and spices in it that are all above board. It's not, you know, THC, but like that is promoted as an aphrodisiac. Now, I don't know how he gets away with it. The name of the chocolate is, it's called Tabs, I think, because it comes in squares cut in half. And the brilliance of the marketing was you buy 3 of these squares that have 2 pieces each, 6 pieces. It's like $40. But it's shown in the TikTok where a young person, a young man, and their partner, could be whatever, pick your match, each take a tab, and then they show them afterwards with their hair all tussled like they just romped in the sack. And the point is, it's like for better sex. But the point is, he's selling like $1 worth of chocolate for $40 on TikTok, and he sold like $1 million of it in a month because the message matches the product. It matches the audience and there's virality to it. It's like, remember the Dollar Shave Club commercials and stuff. So you have to understand before you dip your toe in this, you can't just be an old codger like us and wander in with like some weirdly formatted 16x9 horizontal going into TikTok. That just won't work. But what you can do, our audience is attuned to, I'm a person who has certain pain points that I feel like I'm talking to my friend about. You talk to the person in your prospective audience at the same rate and level and tone you would in real life, and you will attract those people. So don't look for kids if you're looking for adults. Don't look for adults if you're looking for kids. Don't look for fast-paced if you do slow, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, one of our live viewers just put something out about social media marketing industry report. I just put this one. I've never touched TikTok, but the one area that I haven't, which you could criticize, I haven't really done anything on Instagram. Have you ever looked at Instagram yourself to do more effective outreach and marketing?
Yeah, but it's Tina who's brilliant, and I appreciate this. She says the 2023 social media marketing industry report found Facebook generated the most leads, followed by LinkedIn, then Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and last was TikTok. And I think that's a reflection of maybe 2 things. Number one, I have 3 generations of kids, a 12-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 22-year-old. I'm 56, okay? Facebook stopped somewhere in around the 30s, okay? Not a person under mid-30s is using Facebook. And many of them are not familiar with how to interact on LinkedIn, which is why I created the Your Best Profile thing. These kids in their 30s who get on LinkedIn and then like you say, yeah, I'll connect with you. And next thing you know, they spam you with like 5,000 things about them and what they're selling you. I'm like, slow down, Tiger. I come from a world where we used to meet somebody, say hello, have a cup of coffee and so forth. So I think this is a reflection of social media marketing on specifically TikTok and Instagram is for the millennials and the Gen Zs and the Gen ZZs and whatever else comes next. Because they have zero attention span. But when they see something that's cool, they share it with all their friends and they go, woo, 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 woo. But that's not really marketing. That's a different type of marketing. What we market to are people who have a real problem that needs more attention, more intervention, let's say. And it's not a right or wrong. It's just different. Like, don't bother me, kids, with your rock and roll. Well, I'm not selling to kids. I'm selling to adults and business people typically.
Right. Let's go on to number 4, which is fascinating, really. Number 4, promote to your existing email list and build an email list. A few years ago when social media really started to get traction, there was a lot of so-called expert and people that were saying email and building an email list was finished. There were a few voices that saying this is garbage. You know, having your own email list is always going to be really important. I write a weekly newsletter, normally about the subject that we're discussing on Friday, and I repurpose it. I utilize it on LinkedIn. I make a quick video, and then I push it to other social media platforms. So I always try and repurpose everything I'm doing. But I think email, you know, having built, you know, producing content and trying to build your email list as much as you're trying to build your membership, the two are really interlocked, because the bigger your email list and the quality of the email list, just don't go for volume, the quality is important. What's your views about email marketing and building an email list?
Wasn't it Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, who said, the reports of email's death have been greatly exaggerated? No. Yeah. But also,
Mark Twain,
he used the early version of Gmail. The thing is, I feel like this this is the old geezer show. I'm old geezer one, and I'm with old geezer two. Okay, kids, listen up. There was a time when all the appliance makers made avocado-colored appliances, like weird green, and salmon-colored tile in the bathroom. And there was a time when I was about the same age as my 10-year-old entrepreneurial stuff, where I wore bell-bottom jeans, because that was all the rage. Give anything 35 years, and it comes around again as if it was just discovered under a rock for the first time. So yes, it was true that email had its sort of pinnacle, and then it fell in disfavor when all the new social media and social network tools came around. And now I was at the forefront, and still am, for social network stuff. But part of the benefit of that is that I also get to advise people today about why social network tools like forums and groups and so forth, especially on a SaaS platform, are a little bit of a tar pit. You might think it looks really sexy until you step in it, and then you find yourself 65 million years later, a fossil, because it takes away from what you're really trying to do, and sometimes in a complicated way. Now, email was the busiest channel. And when social media came along, all the new media darlings and the Gary V's were like, check this out, folks. And they were right. But now all the noise went to social media, and in email, you kind of hear crickets, crickets, crickets. So if you want to get attention and you do it right and you build a trusting list of people who know you're not going to spam them, newsletters are the new bell-bottom jeans. Newsletters are the new avocado appliances. The biggest reason why is because the social media platforms have taught people, like I was saying back in 2006 when Ning did that to all the 12,500 people in my audience who were business owners, platforms giveth and the platforms will taketh away, but you can never lose an audience that's on your own email list. Can you make that into a t-shirt for me? Because that's the benefit. Trusted relationship, personal respect in the communication, the list you own and grow, they're your private army of your biggest fans. They always have been, always will be. It's just not as sexy and as attractive as all the new toys. And that's where we're at. So yes, if you want to have the best chance of a successful membership site, you build a newsletter, you build an email list that's based upon, look, maybe once a week I'll send you a nice digest of the highlights that's easy to consume. You can look for just that, spend 3-5 minutes. I won't bother you. That's what people need today, because I do Inbox Zero, for example, and I know a lot of people don't. Inbox Zero is a full-time exercise. I mean, every day. It's like, even when I thought I was out, it keeps pulling me back in, like 200, 300 emails a day, even with filters, of people just think like the first time they meet you, like, let me blast you. And that's not what people want. You have to be very, very curated.
Yeah, I also think it's a bit like finding your niche. I'm going to apply this myself because I've been thinking about this. I've oscillated the tone of my own newsletter quite a bit. I'm going to make it much more personalized and really it's a bit tricky because I don't want to, I really, my personality type, I'm typical Aries, but in my heart, I really don't want to rub up people the wrong way, but I'm very good at it.
Well, let's talk about the difference between things that get attention versus things that go back to our number one and two, positioning yourself as an authority or becoming a source of knowledge. Now, if your desire, if your goal, remember what you wish for is what you're going to get. If your goal is to be a controversial person, like a pundit who sticks their finger in people's eyes for no good reason on an ad hominem level, well, you make that kind of list, you'll get that kind of attention because controversy sells. But some people don't want that, and they don't realize when they're using that tool at the beginning that that's the kind of audience they're going to get. And then those people get disappointed. Let's look at like the king of all media, Howard Stern. He's not using social media per se, but it's a great example. His early days were being an antagonist. And as he's gotten older, mellower, wiser, he's chilled out, which has alienated maybe some of his audience. It's not hurting his pocketbook, but that's the thing. All those political pundits and the stock market pundits and the NFT promoters and blah, 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 versus what can you do for the long run? What's the thing that aligns with your personality? So when you make your new version of your newsletter, it doesn't have to be antagonistic or poking. It can be just like, hey, I'm talking to you like a friend or family member. This is the stuff that's interesting to me. And that's it.
I think there's a balance between cruelty and honesty, and it's a fine line, though. You've got to always be looking, are you, what you think, I'm being honest, are you, or are you just kidding yourself and you're actually being a bit cruel and it's just suiting your purpose?
People don't forget that, by the way. Like, people in our community, especially WordPress, we've seen some drama. And then there's some people who have made their name around the drama. And you and I, being in the space since forever, witnessed it a little bit first person, a little bit third person. And I'm saying, people don't forget, if you make your reputation on being the drama king or queen or whatever, that's what you're known for. And that's not easy to undo, right? So you choose wisely what hat you're going to put on. That's basically it.
But the reason why I brought this up, Spencer, is it's a balance, because you don't, on a membership site, folks, you don't want to send out these dire corporate style emails that you delete almost and you just keep around because they send them occasionally and you just can't be bothered to sign yourself off the list. You do want people to read it. And they will, you know, they don't, most people are fine. They will speed read something. And if that particular week or month, it's not covering something they find interesting, as long as that they get some value periodically out of it, they won't unsubscribe.
I want to make a point on that. That's an important differentiator. This is a little tactical, but let's pause for a second. Blah, blah, email lists won't work. Today, think of your email list as a newsletter. Okay. Now, what format of newsletter is most effective? That depends on your audience. But what I found to be true is that most people have now too much spammy email. So in order to keep an audience that's otherwise interested in your stuff from having what we call FOMO, fear of missing out, I found that you have to do it like an executive summary with like 5, maybe 10 bullet list points. That's it. So in other words, here's the 10 things that I think are important. And they lead to articles or things you've done or whatever. Versus, let's make this like Encyclopedia Britannica. Why? Because like I do subscribe to about 10 or 15 newsletters. And some of these, and by the way, I think once a week is more than enough. Because on these people who send me really good content that I really want to consume, I'm freaking out now because I've got one filter that's called Spence to Read, and my rest of my inbox is at zero. And that Spence to Read has like 5 weeks of shit to go through. And I hate that because I wish they would curate it down more. Like give me one thing a week to read from you. And I would love that. versus like, oh, my best friend Jonathan called me and he gave me a list of 15 restaurants that I have to see this week. Well, that's not really helping. Now I've got anxiety.
Yeah, I agree. I try and keep my email. I totally agree with you. These that send you very, very long email, most people just haven't got the time to read it. So I think it's a little bit, so there's a balance. We're going to go for it. It's all about the balance, Spencer. It's all about the balance, my friend. We're going to go for our break. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. I just want to point out we've got a great Facebook community group where we've got people trying to build their membership website and WordPress developers, implementer types as well. So it's a good mixture. Go over to Facebook and look for the Membership Machine Show and join us on that group. You'll find it on this video. It'll be in the show notes. Please join us there. Me and Spencer are on there regularly. Got any questions, we will answer them there. And just be part of the community. That would be great. So on to point five. Search engine optimization content. Get organic traffic. I think this is also really important. I think it's linked to everything else we've said. It's one of the main ways I've built my two businesses. It's linked to a niche. Search engine optimization in 2023 will not work if you're in a broad market unless you've got a substantial audience that you've built for your personality. You're seen as a real thought leader. The only way to do that, to become a thought leader, to become somebody seen as an expert on the particular subject that you're building your membership website, is a niche, in my opinion, and then producing content and understanding the fundamentals of search engine optimization and writing around that niche. In some ways, they're all linked. What's your thoughts about this, Spencer?
I remember we had Rand Fishkin, who now...
Oh, he's going to read up Rider Guide.
Rand runs SparkToro very successfully. He built that business from zero to like over seven figures of revenue now, along with his partner, and bravo. But I remember when he was on the show way back when, last year, I said, you know, we were just talking about building an audience, right? Building a personal relationship where you're outbound marketing versus inbound marketing. And I said, I will not bow to the Google God or Neil, especially when we were talking at the time about that ridiculous AMP, which was like the special format you have to buy into for your mobile content. And I had all these people coming to me like, Spence, do I got to do this? I'm like, no. And now here we are in 2023. I just paid $20 for ChatGPT-4, by the way, because I love it. I love it. And you know what I love the best? Is it's toppling over the megalith that was Google and forcing everybody to rethink how ridiculous it's been that we're drinking that Kool-Aid of, oh, I have to write and do everything to please the search engines. However, However, the truth is I've never been more prolific in writing with the help of ChatGPT or just good old-fashioned Spence content for my websites, for my newsletter. Why? Because people want the information. And so if you memorialize your information, it could be in your documentation, it could be in your blog, it could be inside of your forum or Facebook group or LinkedIn. The information needs to be free. The difference, though, is take this number five, search engine optimized content, and stop worrying about Google and start thinking about that little new Mr. or Mistress or whatever we call it of ChatGPT, finding it, because that's what you want. You want to have something that becomes, this sounds a lot like Spence. This sounds like the area of that guy, Spence, John Denwood, whomever, because that's what's going to win in a world of automation where there's unlimited power to grab data, compile it together, and whether they attribute it or not, we don't know. Hopefully the lawyers will make them do that. The fact still remains that turning somebody on to the concept and then somewhere in some search engine or some conversation somewhere, who's the person that I can talk to about that? Oh, that Spence guy, that John guy. They're the human being that is the connection point between the thing I want to do and real life. And that's what you're shooting for. And ironically, SparkToro, he recently posted in LinkedIn, did no SEO. Rand is an amazing business person, but like I find this so personally gratifying because it was like I was yelling fire in a movie theater a year ago. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. SparkToro built without SEO because you made the tool people wanted and people word of mouth spread it around. Hello, instead of one other example, our great friend Jack Arturo, who I work with, did his annual report for the business that I am very involved with WP Fusion. He did an experiment on search engine for some of the greater terms to look for. He spent $12,000-something and sold $300 of product versus the word of mouth and the other content, which has turned the business into something that he's close to $800,000 a year of revenue. That's another example of how with a membership site, don't try to please the search engine gods. Just make good content, make it easy to find, and be the contact point.
Yeah, I fundamentally disagree with you on this.
I know you do.
I think a lot of the things you've said that I do agree with, I think when it comes to Rang, he was a personality. He had a rabid tribe of people that would follow anything he says.
Because
he did all the years of Moss of doing his white bald videos, supplying content, that was Google friendly that could be found in search. If you are a personality, if you have grown your tribe, you probably don't have to bother with SEO and providing content. But on the other hand, I do agree with you. Just providing shallow content and providing what I call a Google content farm. And there are certain individuals in the WordPress space that have built very successful businesses and have a business model by churning out very shallow, Google-friendly content that's pretty valueless if you know anything about WordPress, and they spill it all over the internet. I think these people are probably going to be hit. But on the other hand, providing content that can be found, that does provide value, does provide some real insight. I think that type of content will always be valuable, not only to the end users, but to Google. I have no idea how all this is going to pan out. I don't think any of us are. No. I think one of the problems with Google was that they were providing too much traction to domain authority, and people were abusing it by spewing out tons of really shallow, worthless content.
The problem is really simple. It's no different than Intuit, the tax preparation software, spending tens, or maybe it's even more, tens of millions of dollars on lobbyists in Washington to make sure that the government does not make it free for people to just have software to file your taxes directly to the government. Why? Because that cuts into the revenue. Well, Google essentially hypnotized everybody into this thing of believing they're, you know, the Wizard of Oz, and then they're going to just keep changing the thing behind the curtain, the algorithm, and everybody has to black hat, white hat, and we know people in WordPress who are expert black hats that just take over what's left of a page that has the top third of ads, the full right side ads, the bottom third ads, and that little middle space. Oh, maybe if you're lucky, the Wizard of Oz will let you get seen. What you're saying, we're on the same page fundamentally. If you make good content and it's posted in your own blog or in your own newsletter or your own social media post, it's yours, and it will be discovered one way or the other, either through a channel of outbound marketing to people in becoming your own authority and taking steps 1, 2, 3, 4 that we're talking about, or if you have an audience being known for that thing like Rand Fishkin and so forth. But I'm saying number 5, from today onwards, stop thinking about what Google's algorithms say or do, because that game is forever over since Microsoft bought ChatGPT and Bing has come out, because we already see that. Google is not going to be able to keep pumping that stupid search results page for much longer. They've already tried and failed hard on their first try. What was the name of their version of ChatGPT? Oh. I forget it.
Barney or something.
And it was like hard fail. And the problem is, just like Intuit, they become drug dealers who know their entire, like the Sacklers with their entire $1 billion of revenue is based upon fooling people into believing that people have to go through Google to actually build a business. And now ChatGPT is like, I'll show you. And that's it. So make the content, become the authority, stop worrying about Google. That's it. We can move on.
I disagree with you there, but what I do see happening is, as anybody that's done any research on sales and marketing, it's called the sales journey. When people, depending on the price point, obviously you're not going to do a tremendous amount of research on something that's very inexpensive. But as the price point increases or the investment in time and money increases, people tend to study the subject in intensity as they get close to a purchase decision. I see what has happened in chat affecting people on the shallow side of that sales journey, where they're just doing broad questions and just trying to find how it affects the middle to the deeper of the sales journey, when people are doing really hard research and trying to find expert or knowledge and trying to find people they can follow. I don't see it having such an effect, but who knows? Let's go on. Let's go forward. What's your position on paid adverts? You know, because I think you've got to get traction. And it does depend on the price point of your course. But on the other hand, it's nothing. I have a colleague who's an expert on Google paid adverts and Facebook, who helps me run my other business. I think it definitely does have a place. I'll be interested what your attitude about paid advertising is on online. What's your attitude?
Well, there's a difference between paid for search and paid for social. We were just heavily discussing it. So first of all, I think anyone listening to this can predict. I think you would be slightly out of your mind to spend money on Google paid ads today. Why? because you're essentially saying the Titanic is sinking and I'm going to continue paying for the band to play my favorite song, because we already know that the model is dying. And up till now, Google has convinced everybody that if you don't pay them, they will sell your keywords to your competitors, who will then show up when they type your name in. And again, we know lots of people in our WordPress business who do that business. And it's quite frankly disgusting, because it's just a great example of how a business has been built on both sides that's wrong. Google is setting rules about what you can and cannot do, and then selling you something that if you don't take it, they're going to sell it to your competitors, and your competitors will willingly crush you, which is not that dissimilar to something like Yelp, where in order to comment on your restaurant's poor reviews, you have to pay Yelp. It's extortion. It's Sopranos. It's not right. Paid social is different, because with paid social, if you find the right channel that matches with you and your audience and your brand and your tactic, and you see that, like, for free, something's working, now it's like a slot machine in Las Vegas. It's like, whoa, I can put in a nickel, pull the thing, I get 25 cents. I put in a quarter, I get a dollar out. Now you can put money towards where you're seeing results, but you have to do it in a very cautious way, because there's lots of ways you can do paid social on the various platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, and so forth. I think it's a fool's errand if you just blanket a gargantuan audience. But on the other hand, if my audience is 56 to 59-year-old executives at a certain level who live in this state who want this thing, and so if you can get that kind of audience curated and spend money on it with the right type of eye-catching, you know, attention, absolutely. That is a worthy experiment that you can, in a limited scale, see results or not, pour more fuel on the fire. And by the way, if I was going to spend the same amount of money, I would rather spend the money on a focused, targeted ad campaign where I can see metrics of exactly who and what, when, where, and why, than to do it on paid search where, let's be honest, that thing is gamed to no end. You know, Google, you can have a competitor who sees you have an ad in, and they just pay a company who goes bing, 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 and you're ranking up clicks and nobody's ever actually seen your thing, or it's a bot. Paid is not necessarily perfect in social, but at least you get the metrics and you know that there's like a network of, it can be gamed as well, but at least you have some semblance of like, let's see what I'm actually doing for this campaign versus this campaign and do different things. I don't know. I have built my entire business over 17 years doing exactly the opposite. I have done it where I take numbers 1, 2, and 3 and 4 without any paid dollars. And I just meet people and I keep talking to people and people tell other people, and word of mouth for me is a good match. But that's not meaning that everybody can do word of mouth. I mean, some people want and need paid ads. So.
Yeah, I think I see it as you really got to do all the previous things that we've said, unless you already got a strong audience. Because I think you've got to really understand your audience and who your course, your membership appeals to, and really understand the persona of your target audience. And for paid advertising to be effective, and then you really got to have a strong understanding about monitoring the analytical information the platform will provide. Normally, for you to do that kind of dive, you'd probably be better to hire somebody that is interested in journey, to find somebody that won't fleece you or promise a load of results which are not achievable, and it can become very expensive very quickly compared to all the other things that we've outlined. But it does have its place. But I would advise you that you really got to understand your audience very strong and have utilized all the other things that we have outlined to find out what messaging really works to your audience and what works and what doesn't, because otherwise trying to find that out through paid advertising is going to be very expensive, very So that's my bit on
it. Well, you know, one of the things that it's comparable to, I used to, and I still do make a point of saying, you know, business is like dating. Doesn't matter who you're into. If you're dating and you have no idea what kind of person you want to attract, both from the standpoint of who you are as well as who you're looking to be with, you're never going to find somebody. If you go to the grocery store hungry without any idea what you're specifically looking for, you can come home with a cart full of stuff that you're going to wonder what the hell you bought. If you try to do paid advertisement without a product market fit, without a complete understanding of the avatar of your audience, no understanding of the pain point you solve or the value proposition, you are just like throwing money out the car window while you're driving down the highway. And paying somebody to do it will be worse because they could care less. They're happy to take your money.
They can't. They're not going to, unless you pay an enormous amount of money, and it still probably ain't going to work out, they expect you to tell them that.
Exactly.
They're not going to do that for you. And if they say they are at a price that they're not, they're not going to do that for you. They're lying to you.
It's like a web designer. I mean, you know, one of the difference between the way we do business and, like, I'm not criticizing any who's a designer, but like a designer's job is not to do mechanics or the business or the entrepreneurial or the sort. But at the same time, if you don't tell a designer what to do, you're going to get whatever the designer feels like, right? You have to be specific about hiring somebody if you do that for doing paid ads. Otherwise, figure it out yourself. It's not that hard, and do it very selectively, tiny little experiments, because that's just literally like giving out your PIN code to the ATM to a stranger if you just go into it and you don't have an idea what the hell it is you're trying to accomplish.
On to number seven, affiliate marketing. Got such mixed feelings because I know some people that have done quite well out of it. I think it's linked to number six. I wouldn't utilize much energy initially. I think you've got to have a track record. It depends on the price point of your membership course. But on the other hand, I know, and it's also a lot of work, and it also depends on the traffic level, the popularity of your course. There's a lot of factors. So you could poo-poo it totally, because I know in the WordPress space, it's totally overused. You know, the amount of people that approach me, do you want to join my affiliate program?
Right.
No, because I know how much work it is. So I think in some ways it is linked to number six. It has its place, but I think it's further on than a lot of the other things we've discussed earlier on. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, it does line up similar to paid ads and so forth. It reminds me a little of the advice I give to people when they're thinking of doing social networking inside of their website. I say, why? Do you make money because of the social network? And most of the time it's no. I just thought it'd be cool. It's like, well, you're moving yourself from a business where you top down control everything and all the money comes through your coffers to one where somebody's going to send you traffic. And now you've built relationships with people sending you referrals. But guess what? If those referrals are based upon false promises, false premises, people said and did things that weren't really what your message would be to get the buyer to you, and then you're living or forced to live up to those false things, that's not a really wonderful relationship, right? Because you've got the person giving you money in good faith based upon what somebody said, and that person's demanding their cut from that sale. But now if that alignment is not genuine or actually good between what the person who's buying assumed they were getting and what you give them, you're left with a big mess on your hands. I thought this was a vegan restaurant and you're serving steaks. Well, you got to pay for the referral and now you have an unhappy person who thinks you're an a-hole for serving them an animal when they were vegan, right? Well, that's the problem with affiliate stuff. On the other hand, if you curate your affiliates, if you make sure that they're, you know, like salespeople wearing the right clothes, they understand the message, they stay on track, you put rules in place. Affiliate marketing is a great example of how you can amplify relationship marketing without doing SEO, without doing paid ads, because there are plenty of examples. And I do lean heavily on affiliate stuff as well. I find an audience of people who love what I'm offering. I turn them into my salespeople. That's what your best profile is, to be honest, because there's a number of freelancers who don't have the mechanics available to them because they live outside the United States to host and take recurring credit cards and do the mechanics. And they would just rather send people and keep half of the money. So that's a great example of it. It's like it's not multi-level marketing because it's one-to-one, but it's like one side is offering the product or the service and the other side is sending the traffic and you share the wealth, whatever the ratio might be. It could be 10, 20, 25, even 50%. Great way to build a greater paying audience from something that you've already proven works.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because it's been abused a bit, but it's still effective. Look at our colleague, Adam from WP Crafter. He built up the WP Crafter. It's going to be linked to point eight. There's overlap here, but he built out a fantastic niche YouTube channel, and he built out audience and revenue through affiliate marketing. And I think he did it in a reasonably respectful way. Some people don't like Adam. I get on with him fine. And he's a hard worker, and very folk, and he knows how to market. And Shane from Five Themes, he knew how to market, and he built Five Themes for affiliate marketing and understood it. And there've been other people, but then there's other people. I understand yesterday a number of financial YouTube influencers who have large financial YouTube channels that recommend. Give financial advice are being sued because they promoted heavily certain cryptocurrency platforms and they were given very large amounts of money, and a number of YouTube channels, the people behind them are facing legal action. So it's a balance, isn't it, Spencer?
Yeah. I mean, having control over your message, having control over your product, the product market fit, understanding your audience, being the person known as the authority, that's very helpful because there have been times in my past where the things that were working were really great, but then something maybe went a little off the edge of the road, and it was possible for me to demonstrate control in a benevolent dictatorship way over what's going to happen, always protecting the buyer over everybody, which is why, when we talk about companies here that are SaaS and they take VC money, and I think today's corporate climate and even the Fed adjusting things in favor of shareholders over everybody, especially employees, I feel that's wrong. The bottom line is you have an obligation to your buyers. You made a promise to them. And anything you use along the way or any relationships along the way you have to put them after the buyers. The buyers have to be first, because as soon as your name, your authority, your reputation is soiled, it will not be unsoiled ever. That's the lesson my grandfather taught me. That's what I've lived by. And you can be really, really progressive. I don't think I'm a pussycat. But when I find I'm wrong, I do the right thing no matter what it costs me and always protect my buyers and early adopters. And I think that has served me well and served a lot of people well. It would behoove a lot of corporate leaders to follow that rule. But since they suffer no consequence, and especially political leaders, like some of them who just like bold-faced lying and lying and lying and lying, it's like everybody will get what they deserve when the time is right. But you have a choice in your life. Do you want to live... do you want to create a business that's like that, or do you want to do the right thing? So choose your partners wisely, choose your relationships wisely, be a person that you'll have no regrets, and that will be a life and a business life worth living. I know it sounds very philosophical, but you can't really separate the two. I mean, happy and fulfilled.
Now, this is about membership, but I do agree with you. What's happened the last week with Silicon Valley Bank and other institutions, you do get the strong feeling that it's one big club and you're not in it. You're not in that club. So if you get into trouble, you're not going to get any help. But if you're in the right club, you get all the help that you want. It does have that strong feeling, doesn't it? That you, it's one big club and you're not in it. So let's finish off with video and podcasting. It is linked to affiliate. You know, we've touched it. I brought in Adam from WP Crafton and there's other channels. You know, I've been in podcasting a long time now. And in video, and my thing is to build up the YouTube channel. I love podcasting because I love radio. I think for a membership site, having your YouTube channel, podcasting, helping you build that audience, I think the main theme of this show is building that tribe, that building that group of people through your niche membership site that really cares about your thoughts, your course, your advice, basically. So I think video and podcasting are good ways of doing that. What's your thoughts about that, Spence?
It goes hand... Yes. I mean, you and I both live this example, but... It goes hand in hand with the 1, 2, 3, 4 is that if you feel that you have an alignment and are interested and capable, as I think both of us definitely are, I love nothing more than doing a live show or doing a YouTube video or doing an explainer video or doing a slideshow with voiceover. If you can do that, incredibly powerful, because that is like your own growing audience. Now, I would say Adam is one of the if not the, he's the leading marketer in affiliate stuff in WordPress. There's one other kid, I can't think of his name right now, but he has a bigger audience, but he does the same thing. Affiliate YouTube marketing is a thing today. I mean, it's huge. Ironically, even though WordPress runs 43% of the internet, talking about WordPress or design... only gets you like this much information, this much attraction in YouTube versus talking about how to build Legos or something like that, or the next, like, whatever. There's audiences in YouTube after lots of trying that go in the millions, whereas in WordPress, the biggest influencers get 200,000, maybe 290,000.
It's a niche area, but, you know.
But, hold on, but here's the delivery. You can use the tool without regard to building the audience. Why? And what am I talking about? This is no criticism of these two other fellows, Adam and the other guy. And there's a third or fourth, this guy, Tyler or whatever. He puts out one video a year, like how to build WordPress 2023, gets like a million views. My opinion in viewing them is that their audiences are newbies and they're not particularly going to end up being very profitable customers. They're tinkerers, like wandering around your China shop. And it sounds really great. I got 200,000 subscribers. But if you try to match up them with like, what's the bottom line? How much ROI do you get from them in a year? Or what do you get from that? Doing affiliate stuff is a tricky game. Why? Because in those two examples, one day they're talking about product A and here's the link to buy it. And then the next day they're talking about product B that's the competitor. Here's the link to go buy it. And next day, product C. There's three products all doing the same thing with three different affiliate links, and they're not being untruthful about it. But it's like, if my friend told me, oh, here's the best restaurant, go to this. No, I meant this is the best restaurant, go to wait, no, this is the best restaurant, go to that. I'd be like, I don't really want to be friends with you anymore. What I'd rather do is have a friend, and that's what I try to be. Spence says, this is the one thing to choose. And maybe there's two or three, but here's why they're different. And you pick, or I'll tell you, but I'm giving it to you with no affiliate links involved. And that's, to me, a way that some people can choose. You can be an affiliate marketer, or you can be somebody who is like giving the information and still use the channel. YouTube, Vimeo, all these video, audio, amazing. Live events become known. But you have to be consistent about your message and you have to disclose why is one day I'm selling cart flows and the next day I'm selling SureCart. That answer has still not been resolved in his audience as far as I can see. Like, why did you sell us this WooCommerce solution and now you're saying, no, drop WooCommerce and buy your thing? That's a hard thing to reconcile unless you can live with yourself in the morning. I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Yeah, all right. I think just to finish off, I think the other factor, I think you can still be really successful in the membership e-learning space. I think you've got to find your niche. That we slightly disagree with the SEO side. I think it's still very crucial and still will be for the foreseeable future. But I do take in your criticisms, and I think some of those criticisms are totally correct. I still think, I also think a lot of companies, larger companies, are realizing is the investment that what I call e-marketing, which you've always been very at, I've observing your own career, I think you've been in the early days of what I call e-marketing. That's my term for it. An example I noticed with LearnDash, they launched their e-learning academy. There are other companies and other players in WordPress and that are producing more educational course-based training and utilizing it as a magnet to attract new possible customers to them. Would you agree with that? And I personally
what's
think...
What's the question?
Well, that more companies are realizing that they're having to provide more kind of training and advice and build a relationship with their audience and possible customers.
Yeah, because, I mean, see, the thing is, we all understand now, we talked about like email, fell out of his favor, social media. Well, now with the social media visual metaphors, TikTok and Instagram and even YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, you know, visual media, audio media is a great format. You need to have a different format depending on who your audience is, like long form, medium form, oh my God, what happened to me form. But companies recognize like that's where people are looking. Those are the billboards of today. You tailor your message to the size and shape and location of the billboard. And it's a really interesting way. You could go viral, right? Like you can skip the line and get notoriety. Now, you said something earlier about like a celebrity or a well-known person having an advantage. Well, you could look at an extreme example like the Super Bowl and somebody like a Rihanna. They don't pay for her to be at the Super Bowl, but she owns her own cosmetic line, Fenty. And at the Super Bowl, in the middle of her thing, which was an amazing performance, she takes out her Fenty cosmetic case and like adjusts her lipstick with her Fenty lip. Like... They were paying like $5 million
for I should do that in my podcast.
But well, what I'm saying is, I'm saying like, I don't know what the cost of an ad was, but it was millions of dollars for a 30-second ad, like lots and lots of money. And she did, I mean, not everybody was Rihanna, but she took advantage of the fact, look, I'm going to own the space. All eyes will be on me. Hold on. Here comes my ad. And you can do that in a YouTube way. It could be like in this show. I put an ad in the beginning of the show. It could be like showing up at an event. I was at the Cadence Amplify yesterday. It could be wherever you go that people want your information. Make it valuable to them for you to show up with your content or your person and put your ad right in the middle of it. This is the pain I solve. Click here to get my thing. And people will be like, I love that. There's not even, it doesn't feel like an ad that way. And it works.
Right. I think we're going to wrap it up now, folks. I think it's been a good conversation. Please join us. Give us a review on iTunes for the podcast. Please go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Leave us a comment on this video. Give us some feedback on the topics you'd like us to discuss. Join us live at around 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. We've got any questions about your membership website, you can put them to us live. Join us on the Membership Machine Show Facebook group and be part of the community there. There's great ways to speak to me and Spencer. So, Spencer, what's the best way for people to find more about you and your views and ideas?
Today I'm going to do an ad. Warning, here comes an ad. Go to yourbestprofile.com. I have 100% money back guarantee. Spend the $9 or the $11 or get the whole bundle for $49. It's 20% off if you buy all three at once. $49. It will be the best advice and the best help you get for fixing yourself up for doing exactly what we talked about today, which was how to be the advocate for your membership or your website or your services in today's world, based upon tens of thousands of real life examples and customers and 40 plus years of being an entrepreneur, 17 of which have been in the space. And at that point, call me for a free call and we can talk further about what worked, what didn't work and so forth. But I 100% guarantee you it worked because I'm doing it myself. I'm following the same formula that I'm teaching all of my students and clients, no matter whether you're just starting out or you're an experienced company. And I, by the way, I look forward, I want to put a plug in for Tina, who's amazing. She has a huge audience. She has an audience of about 128,000 people on Twitter. Tina and I are going to be working together along with a few other of my audience members because we recognize there's a whole generation of folks who are our age who have come out of the corporate world or want to have a side hustle or want to work. We're going to be delivering this kind of ready-to-use stuff for that audience because you know what? Avocado appliances and bell bottoms are back, baby. And we know it. And the Gen Xers and the, you know, we're resilient. The Gen Zs, the millennials, the new kids on the block, they don't know what life is, going to bring to them soon. But we do. And we've got the, you know, the answers.
Yeah. And just finish off, if you're looking to host your website, your WordPress membership website, have a look at WP Tonic and what we've got to offer. We provide great hosting, great support, plus a package of plugins, plus email functionality, all combined in one easy solution to get your membership website running on WordPress as quickly and as painlessly as possible. Go over to WP Tonic. We love you to be part of the tribe. We will be back next week with another great topic. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.